Let us understand the word intention for a moment. Is it all right? Look and understand the word intention of God's word. If you look in the Judges chapter 3, look at the next slide. Judges chapter 3. And it says this. These are the nations the Lord left to test all those Israelites who had not experienced any of the wars in Canaan. And then verse 2 says this. He did this only to teach warfare to the descendants of the Israelites who had not had previous battle experience. And look at verse 4 in Judges chapter 3. He says, they were left to test the Israelites to see whether they would obey the Lord's commands, which he had given their ancestors through Moses. And you oftentimes say, Lord, please, please take away my enemy. Please get rid of them. Scrape them off. Tear them apart. Get them out. And all the more you pray for that, the more you realize there is still that thorn in your flesh. God did not take away the thorn, isn't it true? He did not. You know why? Because Jesus took the crown of thorns upon himself. He didn't take the thorn. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient for you. And here we are. We are crying out to get rid of that. Yet the Lord says, I'm keeping it there for you. You know why? So that you learn to trust me. You learn to obey me. You learn to depend on me. And that's what the intention of the word of God was given to us. So that we, when it's given to us, we understand God's purpose and God's intention. Do you know there is intention within our condition? Every condition you go through, there is God's intention. So don't be too quick to despise your condition without first looking at God's intention. I'm not confounding you, right? If you are in a condition, don't despise it. Understand God's intention. You know why? For me, when I was found in a certain condition and I waited upon God for his intention, and what I did was I discovered God's revelation. In the midst of that condition, I said, Lord, I need you to show me your purpose, Lord. And lo and behold, God showed me his intention. In the midst of his intention was his revelation. Just like the one that I mentioned about Daniel's three Hebrew friends. What was the condition? The condition was they were forced to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image. And they want to know what was God's intention, but they declared God's intention. He says, I will not worship your image. I know God will rescue us, but even he does not, we will still not bow to your image. Unlike many of us, we are so pressured by the truth, we gave way, isn't it? But not for Daniel's three Hebrew friends. But what was the revelation after they declared the intention that they will not bow down? Lo and behold, the Bible tells me, Nebuchadnezzar intensified the fire 7 times. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. They were not screaming. They were not shouting for help. And all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar was shocked and surprised when he saw there was a fourth person in the fiery furnace. In the midst of the condition, I looked for intention. And lo and behold, there was a revelation. Are you with me? Did you see that many a time we grumble with our condition? We grumble to the point that we were not able to discover the revelation of God. I pray today that sometimes for those of us who may be trapped by our condition, we whinged, we complain, and we sometimes even get angry and use curse words against our condition. But then we lose sight of God's intention. Worse still, look at the next slide. This is a slide, by the way. Some of us are trapped with our condition until we created them as our story. We created them as our story. How can you and I learn and see God's intention? And I repeatedly mention in John chapter 8, verse 31. In verse 31 says this, to the Jews who have believed him, Jesus said, if you hold on to my teachings, if you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold on to the truth, brothers and sisters, but you see, there are people, they could not see the intention, and they believe in the lie. When they start to believe in the lie, they continue to develop them into a story of their lives. And this is what happened if you look at verse 33 now. This was a statement against those who says that we have been enslaved. Do you see verse 33? We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? We have never been a slave. Pastor, I've never done anything wrong. Why do you want to correct me? Pastor, I'm not a sinner. Why do you say that I need to repent? And you see, this is what happened to these Jewish believers. We are Abraham's descendant. We are never being a slave. Hello? How can you say you have never been a slave? Have you ever learned your history? Can I show you what the history was? Can I show you? The history was this. Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. And then later on, they went to the promised land. And then later on, they sinned against God and they had to be dispersed. And they were enslaved by who? The Assyrians? The Babylonians? Have you not been a slave before? What about now? What about now? Who is ruling you right now? Who is ruling over you? The Roman Empire? Have you not been a slave? The Jews believe in the lie and make it into the story of their lives. They thought they have never been a slave. Many of us deny the facts about our past that has trapped us into a story of our lives. Many of us believe in the lie that has become truth to them. The 10 spies that came out after exploring the promised land went around the camp and started to convince everybody that there are giants, they are ferocious people, they will tear you, they will tear your bones apart. The people of God, they were all convinced with a lie, except for Caleb and Joshua. When you keep telling lies, brothers and sisters, to everybody, people will start to believe that the lie is true. That's why there is power in gossip. It's true. Do you know the scripture says gossip is idolatry? It's not sin. It's more than just a sin. It's wicked sin. Gossip. Why? Because it has the way to convince you that the lie is true. We have to be watchful how the enemy works. And so we start to create a condition that we are comfortable in right now. Well, that's true, which is not. It is a lie. And now I'm living with that. I believe it's true. No, it's not. It's a lie. No, I'm living with this for 10 over years. Yes, it may be that long, but it's still a lie. You see, too many times we think that living with a partner is true, but it's a lie. We think that living and have sex and destroy your virginity is okay. It's not. It's a lie. And the college students will go around and say and make fun of you if you are still a virgin. Oh, you're still a virgin? Come on, you got to be a woman, man. Got to be a man. You're still a virgin. We got to reach one day for you to, Hey, that's what happened. We believe a lie that has become a culture in our lives. Watch that, brothers and sisters. That is the trap of the enemy. And lastly, as you and I recall the attempts of the devil attempted to break Jesus' relationship with the Father by going against the will of the Father. Am I right or not? He attempted. And he also attempted to destroy the assurance of the Father's presence in our lives, in the lives of Jesus. And now the third. Since he can't get hold of Jesus, he thought, I'm going to give the third round. I'm going to give him a big one, solid punch, and see what happened. And this is what the scripture says. Again, the devil took him to the very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. I know that many of us would love it. If you see something glittering and the paper is waving at you and you could see the dollar sign, woo-hoo! I'm going to be rich! Oh, you'll be happy when the enemy start waving nicely at your face. That's what he did with Jesus. And he said this, all this, oh, listen to this, all this will I give to you. I will give you. How many of you like that? If I show you a dollar sign, he said, if you will just do this one thing for me, I will give you. Amen. Would you say, wonderful? Yes, you will. Isn't it true? Let's be honest. Because many of us are weak with the truth. So he will show you. And he says, I will give it to you. And this is what he says. If you will bow down and worship me. How many secular entertainers and musicians and singers have given their soul to the enemy so that they become famous? How many have given themselves to drugs so that they become famous, so that they can do a lot of things to the crowd and then get away with it and become famous? Several years ago, as I was just being a young minister, or even before that, a bunch of us, we were youths. We were doing our Form 6. And we had our brothers' meeting, prayer meeting, Bible study. The sisters have their own, the brothers have their own. And then we started to look at some videos at that one particular stage. There were videos that were highlighting about what the world, the entertaining world, the singers are projecting during their concerts. And there was a man who organized this risky approach, a very risky attempt by going into the rooms. The singers and the band, they have their rooms and they were all going in to change. But there was this group of people trying to create a little pinhole with their mechanism that will go through to video what is taking place among all these concerts of this great band and great singers. I won't mention their names, but here it was shown, and then they put up into a video, and I had a privilege of watching that little camera that went into. You probably be saying this is illegal because it's a violation of privacy. Yes, I know, but this is done in America, not in Australia. Listen to me one more time. It's done in America. It's not in Australia. And then it was shown inside, and this is what happened to this group of singers or band. I can't remember what their name is right now, but they were practicing voodoo before they carried out the concert. You know what voodoo is? They will carry out their little voodoo figuring, and they will take the pin and poke, and this guy will sprinkle some little blood over it, and he will declare that everyone who attends a concert, they will scream, they will faint, they will shout, and they will be taking drugs. He keep on declaring all of those things that you can name them, that we have seen it before. And one of the part is this. He says he even sprinkled that the people will have sex during the concert. I'm saying these with all awe and reverence before God, and I'm saying to declare and expose what is happening in the world that you may not be aware of. And you thought by going to the concert and see people screaming and jumping up and down like little monkeys and female monkeys and male monkeys, and then you thought it was all okay. My brothers and sisters, I want you to know there is something behind it. There is a spirit of the enemy behind it, and I want you to know that the Church of Jesus Christ need to rise up and tear down the enemy by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called to pray for revival. We are called to pray for revelation. We are called to pray for an awakening time. It's time that the Australia wake up in Jesus' name. The devil's intention was to get people to bow down and to worship him. Finally, yes, the next slide, please. The enemy finally reveals his ultimate intention to Jesus. And when that punch came straight right onto Jesus, I could just imagine the word from the mouth of Jesus. Is that all you've got? Is that all you've got? And I saw this intention today with all my heart, that Jesus said this, away from me, Satan. You got to listen to this. Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. You know what the devil did? The devil did not ask about serving. He says, bow down and worship me. But Jesus said, oh no, you better get out of my life. You better get out of my presence. Away from me, Satan, because I am called to worship good my God, my living God, and serve him only. You see, brothers and sisters, worship comes with service. Worship comes with service. Many of us, we thought we can come and just lift our hands and worship God. But worship comes with service. You see, Satan himself doesn't see the importance, but God shows us through Jesus' words, when you worship God, service must come together. Our service to the Lord is driven by our worship to God. Listen one more time. Our service to the Lord is driven by our worship to God. And so the Bible says that when we worship him, we worship him in spirit and in truth, and therefore we must serve him in spirit and in truth. Whenever you serve him under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You serve him under the unctioning of the Holy Ghost. You serve him with the declaration of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And when you serve under the Spirit of God, you serve with truth. If you want to give him praise loud and clear in this house. Yes. Our service to God comes with worship. How can you and I worship God and not serve him? You see, God delights in his children to worship him. It is the duty of every human being to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We are here to give him the highest honor. We are here to give him the highest praise. We are here to give him the highest admiration. We are here to give him the strongest affection from our heart. Why? Because he is great. He is the Savior. He is our Creator. He is the glory. He is our majesty. He is holy of holies. Oh, brothers and sisters, he is distinct, he is unique, he's separated from all creation. He is almighty, and we oftentimes use the word, he is awesome God. Somebody give him praise, hallelujah. And soon after, when Jesus said, is that all that you have given, is all that you've got, the devil left him. But listen to this, after the test, turn to your neighbor, say the word, after the test. Come on, tell your neighbor, after the test. Oh, yes. You know what? When I sit an exam in my early years of my education, we want to celebrate after the test. Am I right? We want to celebrate after the test. You know what happened after the test? Look at Matthew chapter 4 in verse 23 to 24. And I will close very soon. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Oh, brothers and sisters, news about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Somebody say amen. He healed them. After the test, the demonstration of the power of God began. Brothers and sisters, are you afraid of the test? Are you afraid of the challenge? Are you afraid of the temptation? Listen. Brothers and sisters, when you are under the anointing of God, when you are so full of the power of the Holy Ghost, you will carry out the work of His power in Jesus' name. Oh, after the test. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. John 8 says very clearly, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The devil has attempted to break Jesus' relationship by breaking the Father's will. The devil attempted to destroy the assurance of the Father's presence. And the devil attempted to take over the Godhead so that he will be worshipped. But lo and behold, the word of God has been written. Somebody say amen. The truth has been spoken. And when the truth is spoken, the attempt of the devil is futile. When the truth is spoken, the devil's attempt will be destroyed. If you want to destroy the devil, if you want to stop the devil from influencing your home, if you want to stop the devil from getting into your house, I want you to learn to speak out the truth. Because when you hold on to the teaching of Jesus Christ, you must speak out the truth. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So speak it out in the name of Jesus Christ. The devil will fail in his attempt. That's what John 14 says, and I'll read to you in our close. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than this, because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Come on, somebody shout in this house, so that the Father will be glorified in the Son. If you ask me for anything in my name, I will do it. In Jesus' name. If you believe that, come on, give him praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After the test, my brothers and sisters, God's demonstration of power began to spread all over the place. It never happens because we turn our back when the test came. We're so afraid. We turn our back and say, Lord, I don't want this test. But the Lord tells me, after the test, Jesus demonstrated the Father's authority and the Father's power. Amen? Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? Come on. If you are ready, come on, give a big loud amen in this house. Oh, we just want to have the faith in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Would you please stand with me right now, because I believe with all my heart.
You've been listening to Pastor Calvin Sim from Life Solutions Christian Church. For more information, please feel free to contact us by phone on 0410-985-432 or find us online at www.lifesolution.org.au.